And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. That being said, Ben, it's all worth it because of the proximity to the Delta Center.
Absolutely.
Every bit of it.
Very nice. We're lucky.
So lucky. How are you, buddy? What's going on over there?
I was thinking they should, so we're in the Triad Center, which, by the way, I had an interesting learning experience about the history of the Triad Center that I had no idea about.
The Dumb and Dumber thing?
No, just like how it got its name and Khashoggi. Do you know that guy's story at all? Fascinating.
The journalist who was beheaded in Saudi Arabia?
But I think a family member, actually.
Really?
Yeah, who came into Salt Lake City in the 80s and kind of promised all this stuff and was going to buy the Jazz. And the NBA looked at it and was like, you're an arms dealer overseas.
Really?
We're not really sure what the deal is there. Yeah. So actually at a time when the Jazz like were desperate, and this actually kind of ties into all today of bad ownership and money and Sam Battistone and what's going on in Arizona with the Coyotes, this guy just kind of came into the U.S. and came into Salt Lake and was going to build all this stuff and did build this building. The Triad Center is, the Triad are his three sons. It's named after his three sons. That's where all this Triad International and stuff comes from. But he was going to buy the Jazz and save Sam Battistone, and the NBA said, let's look a little closer into this and see what we're
doing here,
who we're dancing with. And they just said, I don't think so. It's just not, you have the money. He was a billionaire in the early 80s, which was not common. And they just said, like, this is probably not right. And Larry Miller stepped up and bought it, and the rest is history. But good ownership and bad ownership is just so critical. And I've seen a lot of criticism for Ryan Smith on Twitter and whatever. You can have whatever criticisms you want of how he's run the Jazz and whatever. It's like the reason the NHL is coming to Salt Lake City, and it's going to get announced today around 1 o'clock, 1:30. That's when they're doing the vote with the Board of Governors. So it'll break in the middle of Hans and Scotty's show. It's because the NHL wants to be in the Ryan Smith business. And yeah, everything I have read and listened to and sought out is they want a part of Ryan Smith. They like his brand, and they want that to be a part of the NHL, because apparently the NHL has pretty sketchy ownership. It doesn't have a great history of ownership, and they want to have better owners, and I think they found an opportunity to get away from this Morello guy in Arizona and get with Ryan Smith, and that's the reason it's coming to Salt Lake.
It's because in the past they've been, desperate.
Yep.
And when you're desperate,
make bad decisions.
You'll sell to anybody.
Yep.
That's a great line. Do you want the, from Starsky and Hutch, the movie? Do you want the blonde or the brunette? I don't know. I've always kind of liked blondes. Well, great, because I'll take anything.
Take anything. Yeah.
That's been the NHL. Yep. That's why they've actually expanded to all these random markets. You know, they've been in Atlanta and then not in Atlanta. You know, this is their business model, or has been, to keep up, and that's been expansion. We've seen Major League Soccer do it even more so.
Yep.
And it's how you gain a foothold, and now the NHL is hoping that they've been established long enough that now they can grow the value of the individual franchises and find successful places, and it's the evolution of the sport itself and the NHL. I mean, think about this. Major League Baseball passed on Mark Cuban because they could.
Yeah.
Because they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And their franchises were already worth zillions of dollars. And they're like, no, we'll sell to somebody else.
The NFL didn't need Rush Limbaugh.
He was a commentator, right? Was he an owner?
He tried to get an ownership group together.
Did he?
For, I want to say it was the Rams before they moved to L.A., and they said, I don't think so. Don't need you. Don't need you.
They can sell to.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's kind of part of the appeal of owning Major League Sports is it is a club.
Right.
It is exclusive. And especially, I mean, now in the NFL, it's really a thing to own an NFL franchise. Only the select few, you know. And so I guess what to bring this back full circle, what is everybody grumpy with Ryan about?
All people are always mad at the owner. And you know what they're mad about? He's different than the Millers. Over and over when I ask, you know, if I keep asking why are Jazz fans mad at this? Why are, he's doing different things differently than the Millers. He's tanking differently than they did. He's a little, he's not upfront about it, but he's a little more brazen about it, I guess. He's hired different people. He's had different branding. You know what I mean? He's put his stamp on it, and it's different than what I think people are used to, and I think that has bugged some Jazz fans. I got to tip my hat to him, especially today. This is the white whale. I mean,
yeah.
It was, I watched the whole game last night, the whole Coyotes game, and it was surreal, and I really felt for the people of Arizona, and it was, I couldn't imagine what would happen if you and I today were covering the last day of the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City. What would we be doing? It would be insane. And the fact that it's our only, to this point, of the major four professional sports, it would have been devastating. Arizona has the NFL, has MLB, has the NBA. They're fine. They're, as a sports town, they're just fine. But it was bizarre to watch this team that had this strong connection leave for no reason other than bad ownership. It's the only reason they're leaving. Is an absolute bozo was running the show down there. And you could see it last night. 5,000 seats. This is the last game they're ever going to play in Arizona. I think it's the last time an NHL team's ever going to be owned by Morello. I don't think he's going to get a team back. I wouldn't want to be in the business of Morello either. You couldn't, I mean, you could feel that it's a 5,000-seat stadium on TV, which is terrible. You should be able to hide that on TV, and you can't. The noise wasn't there. As good as the energy was, it was quiet early. Like, I felt so badly for the fans there, and I'm grateful that that's not where we are today and that we're actually doubling down and not doing the opposite, not going in the opposite direction. Because it's a scar. It's a mark that you cannot wash off in Arizona that you have failed this NHL team. And it's because they trusted the wrong guy, and Morello was the wrong guy.
Okay, there's a couple of different thoughts I want to get to, Ben, but I'll based on some of the things you said, but I'll get to that one, the Salt Lake sucks and all that sort of thing. Spare me hurt feelings.
Oh, no.
Like, no. Hold on. Not your hurt feelings. Phoenix's hurt feelings. There's a great line in Major League, the movie. All things can come back to Major League, the movie. And the owner, who's, if we remember the plot of the movie, trying to move the team from Cleveland to Miami. Very, very applicable to the situation.
Yes.
I mean, she said, if I could get anybody to watch this damn team, none of this would be necessary. 5,000 fans show up once.
5,000.
And yell Salt Lake suck. It ain't our fault, Phoenix. It's yours. And we can also drag the owner. Fine, he's a bozo. I get your point. He is a bozo.
Yeah.
There's Jerry Reinsdorf is a bozo.
Horrible.
People show up to watch his team.
Sure. People go to Bulls games, apparently.
What's his name? Dolan is a huge bozo.
Yep.
People show up to watch his teams. This guy is a bozo. Nobody showed up to watch his team. He did nothing but abuse his fan base, blah, 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 cry me a river. If you showed up to watch, none of this would be necessary. You didn't. I'm sorry. But spare me the Salt Lake sucks. It's your fault.
I'm not offended by the Salt Lake sucks
no,
thing.
No, I'm not either. But
I have
I'm not
no problem
feel,
with them rallying.
I'm not going to feel bad for Coyotes fans. I'm just not.
I feel for them. I feel for the diehards that did show up and were there last night and tickets were $750 for the worst seats you could get. I feel for the people who were a part of this and that was a part of their identity. And that is one thing that we do with sports. It you make it a part of your identity. I thought the broadcasters were terrific last night and an impossible job. You know, you lose your job in this business. Generally, they tell you either right after your show or right before your show and you don't go on air. They've been doing lame duck broadcasts for Luckily, it's only 2 weeks and not an entire season. And then really last night, they all kind of realized like, oh man, this is over. We don't have jobs. They even joked about it a little bit tomorrow. And I'm sure some of them will and some of them won't. And it's horrendous. But I did feel bad for the people of Arizona. I did. I think the owner's probably more to blame than the fans. But to be honest with you, I don't know what their attendance was when they had an 18,000 seat stadium. Why they tried to move it out of the area where it was popular to go to cheaper land, which is kind of what it sounded like. They were going to buy this other property because it was less expensive and they were going to build the stuff on it. And they got greedy because they wanted the property and weren't really caring about the fans. Those were all enormous mistakes that the ownership had made throughout, even before Morella was the owner. But regardless, it's a good sign to recognize that having the right people running the show. And look, Ryan Smith is still very early in this process with the Jazz, and can you get him to a title? How far in is he going to go? The nice thing about it versus this Morello guy is that when he has said he's going to do something, he does it. When he says he's going to do something, he gets it done. And Morello promised all these things. I'm going to build an arena here. I'm going to build one on the ASU campus. Well, ASU doesn't let me do sports gambling, so I can't do a sports book there, so I'm going to have to go somewhere else. Well, how about we just borrow your arena? Okay, and the NHL said, well, what's next? He said, well, I'm going to get this next place. I said, well, when is that? And he said, well, we're going to bid on it in June 27th. Well, what happens if you don't get it? Back to the drawing board. Wrong. Enough. You're gone. You've lost it. You blinked. You don't get it anymore. Nah. And credit to Ryan Smith for being there and having all the answers at the right time. And again, feel however you want to about owners. Feel however you want to about bringing money in from the community by raising taxes to raise $1 billion. I think those are all very legitimate arguments. An NHL team is going to be here tomorrow. There is going to be a party tomorrow for an NHL team coming here that is now a vacant spot for another city that may never get it back.
Which is all great. Now, the Ryan Smith grumpy thing, can we get back to that for a second?
Yeah.
So he's not the Millers and doesn't do the, and listen, coming from a guy who worked for the Millers for a long time, and knew Larry Miller personally enough to get yelled at by him on the phone on one occasion, which was kind of my fault, but still. I think Ryan Smith's doing fine. He's doing fine.
Yeah.
Different, of course. He's a different person.
Right.
Right. Different. He's doing fine. He hired the best general manager in the freaking game.
Correct.
And is letting Danny do whatever he wants, which is the right move, by the way. He's not Jerry Jones in this thing. And by the way, kept Jim Olsen right where Jim was, who came up working 30 years with the Millers, I think. Jim, if I'm getting that wrong, I apologize. But like,
it's more than a decade.
Long time.
Jim's been around, yeah.
Long time. Learned how to do the job under the tutelage of the Miller Millers family.
Yeah.
So Ryan Smith's doing fine. I don't get that complaint. But here, can I add to the conversation, Ben?
Please.
Of how he should be more like the Millers that I haven't heard anybody else say. And I actually think gets to the root of a lot of the grumpiness surrounding the whole thing. What is a concurring event to this, Ben? What big news is also happening this week that goes along with hockey? The new coach? BYU,
yes.
New coach.
Yes.
Who's front and center in that whole thing? Ryan Smith.
Yeah.
He's a BYU guy.
Yep.
BYU booster. Danny Ainge is a BYU guy. He's down there. They're doing it. Here's what Larry Miller did, Ben, that was brilliant. He donated to Utah, too, because he knew the Jazz are above it. That's your fan base. Your fan base are these two groups of people.
Yep.
And as you and I both have made a living talking to both groups, they're not rational in the slightest. And they love their team. They love beating the other guy, which is another thing. But you know what? Tom Curl, the great Tom Curl, to his credit, was the first person I ever heard say this. And I'm sure he's not the first person to invent it. But first person I've heard say this. What is red mixed with blue?
Purple.
It's purple.
Yeah.
The Jazz are everybody's.
Yeah.
Larry was above it. There's a scoreboard named after Larry Miller at Utah. He was a professor at BYU. He taught down there.
Yeah.
I don't know where his heart lied in when they played on the football field. And I think that was really good for his business that nobody really did. Because he's donating here and he's donating there. Now, I'm not going to tell Ryan where to donate and where not to donate. But if it were me, I wouldn't be front and center at the press conference, and I'd probably build a scoreboard at Utah and be like, listen, I know, I'm communicating, I'm selling tickets to everybody. You don't have to be the super booster. There are plenty of boosters that are super boosters that you have no idea what their name is.
Sure.
And it's just a PR thing. If I were giving him advice on how to be more like Larry Miller, it would have nothing to do with how are they tanking?
Yeah.
How are they losing these games? It would have nothing to do with that. It'd be like, Larry was really good at outreach. You know this guy. He was really good at identifying with people who were going to be his customers and saying, I embrace all of you. I'm a softball guy. What was the score of the football game? I have no idea. I was out working, man. You know what I mean?
I do.
And I think a lot of the resentment of Ryan Smith comes from the BYU-Utah rivalry. And you know what? Tell me if I'm wrong. But that's the people that I see complaining about Ryan Smith often have a big old U in their Twitter, whatever, which is totally fine. But if I'm playing PR and I'm trying to run a franchise, build a scoreboard at Utah. It's not hard.
I would believe that there is some gotcha that any perceived misstep by Ryan Smith or Danny Ainge, because they are both so BYU-centric in their history and their identity, and more Ryan currently than Danny, that is something that people capitalize on. I think you are right. Now, you know, does Ryan want to spend money at the U? I don't, whatever. That's up to him. Yeah, but I think you are right. I do think that is probably a source of some of the criticism.
He needs to be above it. Larry was above it. And if for selfish reasons, if for no other, just be above it. You don't even have to stop donating to BYU. I'm not saying, well, turn off the faucet. You can do whatever you want. I'm just saying, you know, build some to Weber. Build some to Utah. Build some to Utah State. Or you know, donate enough to get your name on a building or something. Just show a little goodwill. And I wouldn't be front and center at the press conference.
The Kevin Young press conference.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't do that. If I were to say you need to be more like the Millers in some specific way, that would be my advice. I think the way he's running the team is fine.
I agree. I don't have an issue with how the product on the floor has looked. It's a part of this process, deconstruction, reconstruction, rebuilding. It's all messy and not particularly enjoyable. I think the best thing he has done is hired Danny Ainge, kept Justin Zanuck, and is letting them do their thing.
We got wrapped into some Twitter thing, Ben, and somebody was confused about my I'll take anything. I was talking about the NHL and their attitude toward selling their franchises. And then someone replies to that and says, new name, Utah Rattlesnakes, since it's sounding like Smith was kind of a snake and stealing the oats from Phoenix. What is that in reference? What kind of sneaky behavior, other than he's doing the NHL a favor?
I'd call him the life raft.
Yeah,
I'd call him the life preservers.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, the safety net.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Can you imagine watching the Jazz playing at Slick?
I don't even understand that. I'm right.
Can you imagine if the Utah Jazz were like, guys, we need 4 years, we're going to be playing at Slick. We don't have any other answers other than we hope to buy some land, and the land might not be anywhere near where we currently play. We might actually end up being the Roy Jazz. We play in Roy now.
Merging our conversations that nobody in Phoenix supported them. What was the mayor of Scottsdale's opinion on the pending sale of said land? She said, please don't.
No, thank you.
Please don't. No. Now, if the team were popular, what do you think her opinion would be? Well, hey, let me say this. The Bears have a terrible ownership group.
Yeah.
They said, all right, we're out of Chicago, and they went to the very next township and say, hey, how would you like to build us a stadium? And they said, you betcha. We'd gladly build you a stadium. And then the city of Chicago panicked and said, oh, I mean, we'll get it together or whatever. But, like, terrible ownership group. Huge fan base. Phoenix, nobody wanted to watch the games, so they couldn't do any of this. They would have found RSL. RSL had trouble building their stadium in Salt Lake City. How far did they have to look for another opportunity and a community that said, yes, please?
12 miles.
Like exactly 12 miles.
Yeah, yeah, right, like, not far.
Not far at all.
10-minute freeway drive.
Sandy's like, yes, please, we'd love to have you. This sounds wonderful. They can't find one community in that whole valley that would be like, yes, let's try and get this done.
Again,
let's make it happen.
I'm not knocking the Coyotes fans.
I am. There's two of them.
I'm knocking Morello. I think he's a bad owner. I took a picture of the rink last night. What do you see at center ice right there for the rink?
Yeah, the forks up. Yeah, I got it.
It's half the rink is dedicated to the Coyotes and half is to a college team. Like, guys,
they wouldn't be playing there, Ben, if anybody cared.
This is the NHL. Imagine if the NBA, imagine if the Jazz were like, well, BYU won't let us take the logo off the floor. We got to keep BYU's Cougar in the middle of the floor. Yeah, I know. We're the biggest league of this on the planet. We're supposed to be the elite of the elite. We get people all over the world to come in and play in this league. They're the highest paid players. They're the greatest athletes at this the world. But BYU won't let us take the logo off the floor, and this is just what the Jazz have to do. Like that, no! You are the big dog. You've got to be the big dog, and the Coyotes weren't even the big dog on the ice they skated on. So they're going to love it here. The fans are going to welcome them. The tickets are going to sell. The team's going to play well. Like, it's going to come to fruition the way it's supposed to. And I think the further they get away from it, unfortunately, from Arizona, the more they're going to realize, like, oh, yeah, that was a dog and pony show.
Well, the fans have got to go. Because the problem with the NHL is that market has mattered from a sense that certain markets have embraced hockey and certain markets don't. Like, Atlanta didn't get off the floor, didn't get off the map.
Yeah.
It's been great on one side of Florida and sucked on the other, right? Vegas randomly is a great hockey market. It works in certain markets. In certain markets, it doesn't. It didn't work in Phoenix.
No. And it's been there
cared.
For 30 years.
And they were last in, too, of the major sports, right? Was it them or the Diamondbacks?
Might have been the Diamondbacks.
It was pretty close either way. When were the Diamondbacks? Mid-90s? Late 90s?
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s?
I think so.
Because Marlins were early 90s. Anywho.
Regardless.
They were last in, or close to last in, and they were bottom rung. Yeah. I mean.
But I will tell you.
But listen, the Suns had bad owners for years.
Yeah.
And aren't in this mess.
No, people went.
Because people want to go watch the Suns.
Now, even then, the Suns threatened to sell. I mean, not too long ago, the Suns were threatening to sell.
They weren't going anywhere.
It was at least a conversation. It was at the very least a conversation that they thought about moving, and I even talked about Seattle or Vegas before we were getting to this point with Vegas sports. It was at very least in the conversation. Now, I think there are issues with Arizona that are not unlike, as I've talked about. It's the Florida of the West. There's a lot of people who live there who aren't from there. People go there in the winter because it's nice in the winter, but don't live there full time. It's not as dramatic as it is in Florida, but there are parts of Florida that are ghost towns in the summer because it's unlivable, as is Arizona. But in the winter, it's nice. But I will say this, it's a cool team. I watched the games last night. The four young players are awesome. Dylan Gunther, Josh Doan, Logan Cooley's going to be the best player on the team, if not next year, in the next year, the year or two. This kid Clayton Keller, who's 25, has been there since he was 18 years old, is their best player now. It's like four young, awesome kids that are going to be great, and they're going to be fun to watch. And they're going to be the face of the franchise going forward. Josh Stone's dad, Shane, is the legend. It's imagine if John Stockton's kid was on the Jazz and was great and coming up and was going to be great also. So there's a lot of cool stories with this team. And I'm excited to get to know them. And I think Utah fans are going to rally around them. And they're going to recognize what they have.
Well, that's what Ryan Smith's betting on. Because that's what it's going to take. They're going to need people to go and be interested. And bozos like us talking about it.
I think they will.
Well,
I'll be stunned if
you
they
know,
don't.
And I was on a different thought train with this yesterday, but when I was talking to somebody, but like people think that we tell people what to be interested in. That's a complete misconception.
It's just backwards.
We talk about what people are interested in, and we'll talk about hockey if it hits in this town. I'm betting on it hitting. I think it will. Our station is. I know we're going in. Head first.
Yep.
We're gonna. Sam was down. I mean, we're gonna cover this thing because we think it's going to be a big deal. But if it's not, well, we're not gonna talk about it because we talk about what people want to listen to, not we tell people what to be interested in. So if we're talking about it, it's a big deal in this town. We talk about the Jazz. They're a big deal in this town.
Right.
We talk Utes and Cougs because they're a big deal, and that's what people want
to
hear.
And the product has to be there. The quality of the product has to be there. Right. This is, you know, not to get too far off track. It's the Caitlin Clark situation right now. Look at all the ratings right now. The WNBA draft had 2.6 million viewers. For the WNBA draft, the previous high was 600,000. Why? There's an incredible product right now, and her name's Caitlin Clark. She's signing an eight-figure contract with Nike today. She is an unreal product. She's going to make the WNBA better. She's an unreal product. People are talking about it. We talked about it. She's a household name. We watched. I watched. We watched the Final Four. It's there. The product is good. So I hope this product follows up and is good. But I will tell you, watching it last night, seeing these young players, seeing them on the rise, the draft pick that they have this year, it's going to be top 10. Hopefully they win number one. It's going to be exciting. And I think that's why people are going to get into it.
Top three stories of the day coming up next. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, BKSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination to kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Sarah, where are we starting today on top three stories?
What a monumental moment. I didn't even have to tell you that. You were so on top of it. I'm so proud of you, Jake.
I just knew that I needed to get that done. You're welcome.
All right. Number one, Kevin Young had his introductory BYU press conference.
And it was a big deal.
Huge deal. I mean, he's the, 15th highest paid coach that we know of in college basketball. Not everyone announces their salaries. But that we know, 15th highest paid. It's a huge investment from BYU and a program that is out there to win and is serious about winning.
Yeah. I mean, I hope he gets it done. Like, I think he's got a really good message to sell. I know that coaching, and specifically coaching at BYU, is unique and not necessarily easy. But I think you can win at BYU. I think the expectation with Cougar basketball is go to the tournament and win once in a while. And I think that's very attainable, particularly now that they're in a league where they're going to get a decent seed if they have a good team.
And I think the bar needs to be higher than that. It can't be occasionally we win a game. And that doesn't mean you win every year, obviously. You know, you're not Michigan State or whoever you want to say of these blue bloods, Duke and Kentucky. I'm not expecting that, but it can't be like, oh, good enough is a first-round tournament win anymore. Like, this type of investment, this type of hire, what success they had had in their first year under Mark Pope, this has got to get back pretty quick, and it's got to be good.
The run that they had with Jimmer, and I'm not talking about the culmination. I'm just talking about, like, you've got a team together for a couple of years, and you know, you get to the tournament and it culminates in you win a game or two over like a 2-3 year period, right? Which was basically what they did with Jimmer. That's you can duplicate that. That's a reasonable expectation. And I'm not saying that you have to find the player of the year in the whole darn country, but I'm talking about that being the bar is doable.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jimmer team, honestly, and I'll always say this, it should have gone further. I think it would have gone further.
Of course.
If circumstances were different, which is still wild. What a wild, ridiculous story. But he can do that. I think Kevin Young can do that. I think it's going to depend a lot on what staff he hires. Because he's not a college coach. I mean, he's not coming from the background. Like, Ben, you know this from covering college basketball. Who's your recruiter? Who's your dude that is plugged in to the world of youth basketball, which, by the way, is a complicated world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's your Tim Lacombe? Who's your guy? Because this isn't his world.
No, his brother, though, is that guy.
Okay.
But which is very that's funny. Why... He's got a brother who's in this group of people who does this.
Okay, so then who's your X's and O's coach? Who's your coach that identifies with the players? You know, who's like the staff? The staff's going to be really important because he's going to have to take the more CEO role, especially at first, because this isn't his world.
Yeah, I'll
he's
be curious.
He's operating in a different world.
As an assistant, and specifically as the lead assistant, he's probably been the X's and O's guy, so he will have a lot of that. But you're right. You've got to build out this whole staff, and you've got to be the CEO. And, you know, he can't scout every opponent for BYU.
Like, whether he'd give him a job or not, I don't know. But he should have called Tim Lacombe as soon as he got this job and be like, who are the people
I need
to know?
Yeah,
who are
the
people I need to know? Who's dialed in? Who's plugged in? And because Tim's dialed into it all across the board.
And not just through Spherion.
He's been doing it for, you know, 15, 20 years, whatever, longer. You know, you got to know those people. You got to know who, because it's just a different world. And now ever increasing where, like, part of the job is selling cars. Like, is he good at that?
Yeah.
But if you're starting from he's going to develop players, that's good. But that's like 20% of the job anymore.
And there are pluses, obviously. He's LDS. He's not outside of Utah LDS. He's born in Salt Lake. He knows the expectation. He's going to understand the culture. He's going to understand Provo. Those things are all going to be a plus for him. He said he wants BYU to become a pipeline for NBA players. I'm not sure that – I mean, I think that's a nice thing to say at a press conference. I don't know if that's how you win at BYU.
Well, define pipeline. Because their history is, yeah, they've had some NBA players come through, but I would not call it a pipeline. And I don't know if that changes just because he says so. But that may be a lesson he's got to learn.
And the things he did in the NBA do not match here. I mean, there's a strange history of NBA coaches going to college basketball being really difficult.
Yeah, and it not working because it's not their world.
Yeah, it's a different world. Now, BYU is so specific, and, you know, you can bring up Patrick Ewing. Well, Patrick Ewing, which was alma mater. She's like, don't do that.
And he wasn't an NBA coach. He was an NBA player. That's a different
world. And may have been an assistant at one point. I don't even remember if he was, to be honest with you. But, yeah, like, there are a lot of things he's going to have to change up and be different.
Juwan Howard was an NBA assistant, right? And that didn't go well. His act didn't go over well.
Stackhouse.
At Michigan. Oh, certainly. Yeah, Stackhouse, who's in the G League now? Does that sound right?
Well, he just got fired. Right?
And I think it was from the G League.
Just got fired. No, he was in college. Was he at Vanderbilt?
He was at Vanderbilt. Oh, he got fired from that.
Just got fired.
Recently? I think he got fired a couple years ago.
Regardless.
Whatever.
It's a
anywho
long and not terrific history. So that's going to be tough. You'd have to adjust. I will say BYU is so unique, I wouldn't compare it to any of those other jobs at all.
All right. What is next?
Number two, the Coyotes look forward to the support of Utah.
And rightfully so. They're going to come here. Rumors of a big party tomorrow. I think they're going to show out well. I would probably advise getting that word out quickly if that's the expectation. Is people got to make arrangements. But the support's going to be there, especially in the first few years. The tickets will be sold. It's going to be hard to get a seat. It's going to be 14,000 seats at the Delta Center. I mean, that's what you're going to have available. Those are going to sell. It's going to be a very hot commodity. People are going to want to be a part of the new thing, especially if the Jazz aren't specifically terrific. People are going to want to go see this new team, especially if they have a chance to make the playoffs, and some of that's going to have to do with what they do this offseason and free agency and filling out the defensive side. But the support is going to be here early, and then the team is going to have to follow up the support that's matched by the fans.
I think there is a lot of excitement. I think it'll be great. I hope the weather's good if they choose to do it tomorrow. While I was picking up my daughter from daycare yesterday, I had a neighbor who I haven't seen in years, but certainly friendly with, just randomly stopped by my house by chance that I would be there to talk some hockey.
Yeah.
He like was so, he's so into it and excited about it that he was just like, you know what? I'm driving by. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go in and I'm going to tell him what he needs to know about hockey coming to town. And I'm supposed to, I owe him a phone call, but I thought, what a great example of how people are stoked. It's going to be great. And there's reason to be excited.
And it's the right team to be coming into a new area. Expansion is hard because you get a bunch of other people, a bunch of cast-offs from other rosters, and like they'll give you the third pick. So hopefully you get a guy. They like is the idea. The problem with hockey is they got to go through the minor leagues, and it's going to be a while before you even see that guy, and then maybe you go sign a washed former star who's just hanging on, and it's kind of chippy. This team is young. These kids have a history in Arizona, but it's not a long history. So they're going to be able to identify with Salt Lake City as kind of their, where they cut their teeth, where their life began as professional hockey players, and that's going to become a huge part of their identity.
All right, so let me ask you both this, because Ben, you're hip, and Sarah, you're young. So when the team first gets to town, right, you take them to somewhere like, you know, like, oh, we're going to see Temple Square, and then, well, with the construction, maybe that's not your first stop. But, like, people randomly want to see the Great Salt Lake and come see what Salt Lake's all about. All right.
Don't take them to the lake.
I agree with that.
They'll just keep driving.
But, you know, you show them those sorts of things during the day in official capacity. But where do you take young, hip hockey players to make sure they have a good time? Are you hitting the club? Are you doing a nice? Are you doing vaulters? Is that the best foot forward? And then
you know
out,
where I would
and
take
then
them?
Out to the bay.
I would take them to the pie up by the U, and just be like, "This is because they're like these young 22-year-old kids." You know what I mean? Like, and they're rich. Don't get me wrong, but like, hockey salaries are not NBA salaries at all. Again, like we had Jay Stevens on yesterday. He's talking about guys making $4 million a year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what Omer Yurtseven makes. Not quite that much, but you know, like. No, this is a different culture.
Okay, and that's true. You got to find out their marital status too, like of the majority of the players.
Yeah.
Because if we want to put our best foot forward and say, hey, we're single and ready to mingle, yeah, probably closer to the university is better.
But you know what? That is a whole part of this. That is a whole part of this $1 billion that are being invested from taxpayer money in the revitalization of downtown. It's not just the arena. It's all of this. It's to make this whole area younger, hipper, cooler, more enjoyable, more things to do. So not just Logan Cooley, as he grows into a man, likes being in Salt Lake City, but so Taylor Hendricks, as he turns 21, 22, 23, says, oh yeah, there's a place for me in Salt Lake City, where traditionally there hasn't been a place for professional athletes in Salt Lake City.
What do young people like to do these days in Salt Lake, Sarah? I mean, I don't know what young people like to do. The answer could be, I like to loiter at the 7-Eleven. What do young people do?
Well,
in Salt
I feel
Lake?
Like it depends on the young person and if they're LDS or not.
These kids aren't.
But I would
that
say probably go to the clubs.
Lake and Effect. Then
occasionally they'll go hike and stuff like that. Lake Effect's like on a normal basis is more of a bar than it is a club, though.
These are a bunch of Bush Light drinking Canadians.
So yeah, I would say probably hit up the bar scene. People don't really know that there's like a little bit of one here. I feel like the stereotype is, oh, like there's no drinking in Utah.
Get some Molson. Get some Molson. They'll be fine.
So if that's what they're about, then that. There's also hiking. There's so much to do outdoors here that lots of people will go hiking and get up in the mountains and stuff like that. So there's options. Just depends on the type of person.
We're going to go get some potato skins at Lumpy's downtown.
I think Lumpy's downtown's gone.
Well, yeah, I don't know. the Lumpies and Sugar House is gone. That's something else now.
Anyways. Yeah, they'll figure it out. These kids aren't going to have a hard time figuring out how to fit in Salt Lake. They could go to the Jackalope, whatever. Whatever lousy place you want to go.
Do you remember the place that was across from Lumpies downtown on Pierpont that was like 7 different theme bars in
the beach
like
for
two
a while.
Years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just couldn't get anything.
It was Cafe Pierpont for a while. No, that was over by
No, it was
Marcus
Cafe. It is the old Cafe Pierpont.
Yeah, I worked there for a night as a busser, and I quit the next day.
I've told you my funny story. Oh, well, we don't have time for that. All right, real quick, number three.
Number three, the Hawks are so bad at defense, just pure garbage. Who coaches that team?
Sarah, did you write that? Wow.
Wow, Sarah, I agree. But look at that take. Woo!
Scorcher.
Straight fire. Man, but I got it. Hey, you surrender 131 points to the Bulls and let them shoot pert near 60% from the field. I mean, you're like historically bad. Ben was talking about how the Bulls play yesterday. They play like they're playing in molasses.
Yeah, they've got cement shoes.
They shouldn't score 131 points on a high school team.
You know, we talked about it with Locke and just the idea that if you trade for Trae Young, he's instantly your best player. There's so much unfixable there with the defense that I don't know what you do. And so in that sense, just don't touch him, right? Like, if all you're adopting is another set of enormous problems that are unfixable until you move off of him, he's the boat, don't bring him in.
Not going to work.
Not going to work.
I agree.
Don't touch it. There's just too many flaws there.
I will say I'm rooting for Quinn Snyder to succeed, but if you're buying stock futures in the Hawks, Ben, I don't think I'm doing it.
No, not at all. In fact, I mean, a lot of the conversation last night was, do you just blow everything up? Trade everybody. DeJounte, Trey.
Yes. This is going nowhere.
Yeah, this iteration of this team is gone.
This is going nowhere.
Yeah.
But I do think that they're underachieving going nowhere, which makes it a more tricky situation, right? You can go in and sell it, be like, we got a guy in Trae Young. I heard Locke talking on the radio in Salt Lake. He loves him. Instant offense. Like, you could sell that. You know what I mean? We're just, it did work with Murray and Young, so let's flip Murray for some other waste of time, and then we'll really be going somewhere. We watched the Jazz do it under Quinn Snyder with Mike Conley. Like, oh, we just got to flip Ricard Rubio, yeah, who can't shoot, for a guy who can shoot, and bang, title town. That wasn't,
No.
That wasn't it.
It's built wrong. You've got to strip this thing down to the studs.
I think so, too.
And you got to start over.
Well, I coming back to your point, I don't want to be in the Trae Young business. No offense. I'm sure he's a lovely person. But, I don't like the way he plays. And I don't think you can build a defensive culture with a player like that. Because players get sick of playing defense and watching Trae Young let his guy go by.
Yep. Yeah. Nope.
I mean,
and he's too little to do it even if he tried. So...
So there it is. And you certainly can't have a lineup that has Young, Bogdanovich, and Murray in it and expect to stop anyone.
Yeah.
But I don't think Quinn Snyder was ever about defense, though. Like, he had some great defensive teams because he had to build around Rudy because Rudy was so unique. I don't know if he ever really cared about defense all that much. In fact, his big thing in moving for Mike Conley was, we need more offense.
Yeah.
Coaches talk a lot about defense, but...
Quinn preached it and didn't ask a lot of it.
No. And let his best player, Donovan Mitchell, not play any.
Yeah.
In fact, that was the game plan. Said, let your guy go.
There's a sweet spot, because you don't want to be Tibbs either. Tibbs is all defense and believes in it, and they're always great defensive teams, and he gets his guys to play hard, but he plays his best defensive players 40 minutes a game as a result.
Well, yeah, and is it correlation or causation? Like, why does Tibbs win games? Is it because his defenses are so good, or is it because he plays his best guys 10 minutes more than the other team?
It's probably a little bit of both.
It's probably entirely the latter. In a regular season, if you play your guys 10 minutes more than the other team every night, you're going to win.
You're going to win 50 games.
You're going to win 50 games.
And the other game, Miami falls apart, had a chance to win that game, absolutely collapsed down the stretch. Joel Embiid takes over the fourth quarter. 76ers advance. They will face the Knicks in the first round. That's going to be an awesome series. I'm excited to watch that one. Jimmy Butler gets hurt. He's not going to play in their play-in game, which actually, I guess, gives the Bulls a chance to win that game. I still think Miami, but the Bulls could have a chance, especially if Kobe White plays like he did last night. He was awesome.
Yet another argument against this play-in nonsense is, like, should the Bulls or the Hawks be... Should we even be talking about those two teams ever after the regular season?
Do you remember the original play-in in the bubble? You had to be within X amount of games to trigger the play-in. You had to be within like six games of the eighth seed.
Yeah.
Yes, do that. Because you know who should be in right now? Just Philly and Miami. Miami should be the eighth seed playing
Yeah, these the two clown teams are. Yeah, right. All right.
Like, is anyone dying to have the Kings and the Pelicans in right now? Or maybe the Pelicans should have just been in. Yeah, let the Pelicans be in, and they're the eighth seed, and they're playing the Thunder tomorrow. Great. That's when they start the playoffs. They don't need to go now and play the Kings tomorrow night.
I'm glad you're on my side, Ben. Feels good.
It's a cat in the wall.
All right, stay tuned. Big old mean cat. Stay tuned. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
We need another cat. That's what we need.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. It's time for our 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. We also want to remind you to get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Ben, I don't know if you followed with all the big news around here, the ESPN story about Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
Did you get into it at all?
Do you want to give us a TLDR, give us a background?
And I'll make it super short and feel free to correct me if I'm misinterpreting things. But Belichick thought he had the Falcons job wrapped up. Had a good meeting with Arthur Blank. Thought, man, this thing's in the bag. And then, he found out like an hour before the announcement or something like that, that the Falcons were going to go in a different direction. He thought he had it up until that point. And apparently Arthur Blank called Robert Kraft, and Bob Kraft was like, don't trust that guy.
Not with a 16-foot pole.
And,
don't touch him.
So Blank hired someone else. Is that fairly accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Any thoughts?
Insane. Robert Kraft, let him go away. You guys needed to split ways. Let him go the other direction. Now, the one thing I like is that people generally seem to like Arthur Blank.
I like Arthur Blank.
People are like, he's a good guy. He's the type of owner you want to have. Now, I'm sure I can get a tweet that says like, oh, you didn't hear about this? No, I didn't hear about whatever his bad thing is.
He's a Home Depot guy, right?
Whatever.
But I love...
He seems universally liked.
I like him for his concessions theory alone. And he's like, I'm going to price this food normal.
I watched his Hard Knocks. He seemed like a very nice person.
Arthur Blank.
So unless you were really warning him, like, oh, this is a snake. Don't get close to it. It just seems like a little bit like sour grapes from Bob Kraft.
Maybe. But it is yet another reminder, Ben. Don't burn bridges. It matters how you leave jobs.
It does.
It matters. Like those sorts of things, like... And I'm sure if you're Bill Belichick, you think, oh, I'm above all this. I'm the greatest of all time. Well, you know, be careful how you treat people. And I don't know enough about the situation, and neither do you, to really give an opinion on who's right or who's wrong or who did this or who did that. But you know what? How you manage relationships matters. I'll give you a great lesson from my life, Ben. Like, Scotty and I were rival program directors for a long time.
Yep.
And it was a... It was a cutthroat world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We maintained a great relationship all the way through. And it mattered a lot when it came a chance to work together again. And luckily we had that opportunity. And man, I love working with Scotty G to this day. But I'm so grateful that I didn't behave in a different manner, because that's how you treat people matters. How you leave jobs matters. And you know what? It doesn't sound like it ended all that well. Like, Kraft had decided that it was going to part ways with Belichick before last season even began.
Yep.
Like, messy ending. That doesn't surprise me. It comes around to bite you.
Jerry Sloan said, never refuse to shake anyone's hand
because
you never know who you're going to need a job from. And that sounds a little more like callous than it actually was. But it's like, yeah, you don't know when you're going to need help.
I watched a guy early in radio burn a bridge on his way out. I felt like he was wronged and treated some people not so great. And it turns out that those people, like 2 years later, had the ability to...
Or decision makers.
To say, yeah, let's make this deal, but the one condition is this person isn't going to work there anymore.
Yep.
It's like, wow, okay, there's a valuable lesson right there. Like, you got to... I mean, I'm certainly not going to tell Belichick what to do, but Ben, you've interviewed for jobs. They're going to call your old employer.
And this business is too small. And that business is too small.
That business is too small. They're going to call your... Of course he's going to call Robert Kraft and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Now, Bob Kraft can either go, oh, man, he's a great coach. You know, we didn't always get along, but, boy, he sure knows what he's doing. Or he could say, dude, you don't know what you were signing up for. You don't know what you're signing up for. And things don't always work out, but you can manage situations differently. You know what I mean? It didn't work out for Tom Nosalke with the Utah Jazz, but he left with the relationship where he was on the radio for like 20 years.
He was. Yep. He had a job. He had a spot on the bus.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I bet he could have been all sorts of bitter and treated people badly on the way out. And then guess what? That opportunity isn't there. Right. So anyway,
he got that information from Chuck Daly. He said one day Chuck Daly came up to me. He was feeling bad about his job. Speaking of Tom Nosalke.
Yeah.
And Chuck said, Tom, do you have a spot on the bus? On the team bus. He said, yeah. He said, never be unhappy if you have a spot on the bus. It's that same thing. Yeah. You know, you just be grateful for what you have.
Yep.
Make the most of your opportunities. Keep your head up.
Stay tuned. More Jake and Ben. No lock today.
Let's talk some hockey.
That's why we're not worried about being late to break. Stay tuned. More next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.